Good day, Tokers and Tokettes. Once again, I'm here in the United Nations cafeteria, and it just so happens that I've run into another set of international guests. I am here with the Dacha couple.
You said it correctly.
South Africa. I studied. I'm a radio guy. I have to learn how to pronounce things. So, Dacha, of course. We were speaking Jamaicans earlier.
Okay. They call ganja it ganja. Man, the ganja man.
But America, we just call it weed. Yep. But tell us your names and what the Dacha couple is all about.
My name's Myrtle Clark, and the Dacha couple was a term coined by the South African media after it hit the newspapers that we were arrested in our home on charges of possessing Dacha, and we decided to sue the South African government on charges of enacting unlawful laws. So the newspapers got hold of it, and that's how come we called the Dacha couple.
And my name's Jules Stubbs. I'm the other half of the Dacha couple. And we had three choices, Russ. We could have either faced 7 years in jail for possession, because that's how it is in South Africa, or we could have paid a bribe, because that's how it is in South Africa. White people don't really get to jail in South Africa. We have some money, so we could have done that. But that would have given us a criminal record, and we travel a lot, so we would never have got a visa. We'd have a 10-year suspended, so you know what? We just fought it, and we're fighting it, and we've set a precedent in South African law, and now we're hobnobbing it at the United Nations, and 10 minutes ago, they wouldn't let me in because I have the word cannabis on my shirt. Whoa.
So we're having a conference on international drug policy, but we can't have the word cannabis be seen. My goodness, people might start talking about it.
That's right. I was absolutely incredulous. It happened this morning, and now today, because I've only got one shirt on, and my hotel room's 20 blocks away, I still have the same shirt on. So you can see me perspiring here, because I've had to put a hoodie over the top of it all so I stay legal, dude.
So your case got prosecuted, and it's over?
No. We've only just kind of begun.
So it was in 2010 when this all started, but it's obviously been a like long road since then. We're waiting now for a new date, because it was meant to start in the High Court on the 10th of March, but then it was postponed again because we've got so many expert witnesses coming over to South Africa to testify. We need 20 court days, so now we're just waiting for our sort of the high legal beagles to organize a court date, because it's going to be 20 court days. So we hope to, before the middle of the year, to announce the new court date so that we can move on. Yeah.
You mentioned briefly white people don't go to jail in South Africa for this. Kind of like America, you know.
It's kind of like America. However, it's a kind of a reverse situation in South Africa. We believe that most of the people that are arrested or intimidated or extorted are white people. It's kind of different. The arrest rate is higher for whites than it is for blacks, we believe, because white people have got more to extort from them. If you've got a nice car and you look as if you've got some nice clothes, then the cops go, we might be able to get something out of this, because a lot of this stuff just stops on the side of the road. Nobody goes to, you might get put in jail for the weekend, but during that weekend, you might get the docket to disappear. You might get a tout lawyer to pay the right bribe to the right people. So that's what we mean. There's for sure the disparity in incarceration is the same as it is in the USA. There are more people of color in jails in South Africa than there are Caucasians, because most Caucasians manage to get their way out of it just with resources, basically. And I've personally sat in a South African jail on occasion three times, and some of the people that are sitting in there are just sat there because they don't have any bail. That's the only crime they've committed, is not having the amount of bail to post to get out. And Myrtle has just dealt with a Rastafarian man outside Cape Town. He was languishing in a police cell for 4 months because he didn't have, what is it?
1,500
rand. 100 US. He didn't have $100 bail, and now he's been there for 4 months.
Wow.
Oh, that's silly, isn't it?
How much possession amount does it take for these charges to get pressed?
Anything. We've seen convictions for 0.5 of a gram.
Oh, or as I like to call it, out of marijuana.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just a gimmick in the bottom of your bag. We were actually we were arrested for we had a quantity of cannabis, but the law says that if you have over 115 grams, 115, you are a dealer. Does that sound like science to you, Russ?
115 grams is about four ounces.
It's 5 ounces. Yeah, it's about 5 ounces. So if you have that on your possession, you are automatically a dealer. And now we're talking about some serious jail time.
Because if a guy has 3 cases of beer in his fridge, he's a beer salesman.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
He's couldn't be just stocking up.
No, not at all. Oh, the disparity, man.
And if you have 114 grams, you're not a dealer. But if you've got 116 grams, you are. So
at the time, we know that it's very easy to actually argue away these particular charges, because for there to be a dealing charge, there has to have been dealing. There has to be ganja, cannabis, dacha, and money in exactly the same place at the same time. So what they do is they intimidate you on the spot, because a dealing charge is jail time. So once people are scared, they make stupid moves. And that's all the cops are waiting for you to do, you know. They're making you incriminate yourself just by them scaring the crap out of you.
Yeah, I saw a meme cartoon on Facebook the other day that showed the squirrel stopped in the middle of the road. And they say the squirrel goes 90% across the road and then stops. And what kills him is him trying to go back the other way. He says that's the same thing when people get caught with drugs, is they're the squirrel that stopped and they panic get themselves busted worse.
That's a great analogy. That's right.
Yeah.
And we see it time and again. And we've got a little booklet called Know Your Rights. Because loads of people in South Africa don't actually know that there is a procedure. There's a proper procedure to be arrested. You have rights. And at that point, when you're busted, people don't think they have any rights. So we produced this booklet, which is now version 4. And right at the very beginning, it says, just shut up. Say nothing. Sign nothing. Don't wind them up. Just take it on the chin. If you get arrested on a Friday, which is modus operandi, you're not going to get out till Monday. That's how it is. They're going to put you in a jail for 3 days and punish you. The alleged cannabis user will now be punished in the state jail for 3 days. And at that point, the minute you start tuning the cops back, they're going to make your life miserable. You're not going to eat. You won't get any water.
Mm. So what's the status of your case now?
Pending new date in the High Court, and then obviously all evidence is led in the High Court, and then as our legal team say, well, once we're through the other side of the High Court, we can breathe a bit easier. Then it will most probably go through the Supreme Court of Appeals and then onto the Constitutional Court, which is obviously the highest court in the land. And we've got some really amazing witnesses coming over. We have Donald Abrahams confirmed. We have Carl Hart confirmed.
We're
not sick and we don't want to make socks. We just
human
want
rights.
To get stoned. Yeah. Actually,
yeah.
We like being stoned. So that's the bottom line of our case.
Well, we don't believe in recreational, medical, nothing. We don't see any distinction whatsoever. We are fit and well and healthy because we use the cannabis plant. That's it. And all the people that come to us at our non-profit company looking for cannabis as medication and they're sick, not one of them has a relationship with the plant. Not one of them. 400, 500 of them, all of them. They come to us because they're sick, because they haven't used their plant all their lives. So we're doing this from a human rights angle. It is our right to put whatever we want in our bodies. And it is enshrined in the South African Bill of Rights that is the case. But of course, it's not the case. Just like it is in your Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. They got all this blah, blah, blah about human rights, but... Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, you didn't see that the asterisk at the bottom that says, except if it has to do with drugs.
Exactly. That's the caveat at the bottom,
right.
Yeah.
There's a tiny fine print those founding fathers put in.
Yeah.
So in South Africa, what's it like trying to change these laws? A lot of government repression, a lot of them trying to turn this back?
There is no political will.
Not really.
Not really.
You know, we kind of steer clear of the politicians. It's only been in the last sort of 18 months that we've started to engage with the broader drug policy debate and policy in general, because we're fighting this through the courts. You know, I don't know if you've seen South Africa in the news lately. Our president is not exactly the most popular person in the land, because he spent $14 million renovating his private residence.
And he was found guilty by the highest court in the land. The judge president said the president of the country is guilty of embezzlement.
Wow.
So he went on national television and said, I apologize. Moving on.
Nothing happened.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, true story.
Excuse me, but the story, can I say that my sister was there? Said, yeah, this same guy in Zoom was accused of being raping the secretary.
Yep, yep.
He said, what, did you rape your secretary? Well, she didn't she like it? She got AIDS. Yeah, but wash myself.
That yeah, the
yeah, that's
yeah.
Right.
So that is, we have a cartoonist called Zapiro, who's very famous for every time he draws the president, there's a little shower head sticking out the top of his head.
As a reference yeah. to the fact that he slept with a relative.
Ah,
it was a relative that he slept with, and he was unprotected sex, and he said, "Well, I had a shower afterwards."
See.
Yeah, so this is the leader of the of our country, and
so this is the person we're expecting to make science and evidence based.
Yeah,
decisions
exactly.
On.
So that's exactly why we are not doing. Obviously, it's not the courts that change the law; it's the politicians that change the law ultimately. But we have to get this through the courts first, because one thing that out of it's about 2 weeks ago the Constitutional Court judgment on the president, it gave us incredible confidence in our courts, in our judicial system.
Yeah.
It's really, really strong. We've got a strong set of judges on the Constitutional Court,
and we're going to get there.
We've got a very strong constitution. Actually, in Mexico, everybody knows about the four people in Mexico who got the judgment there. They used the South African constitution there as an example for that case.
Oh.
And we've been in contact with the defendants in that case. And the South African constitution is famous in the circles where constitutions are famous. You know, it's
wow.
like, yeah.
Did you have something?
No. Just asking, what was the point in the constitution that could help us out of the prohibition strategies? What is the point in the constitution?
Well, it's just based on human rights. A very, very strongly worded human rights declaration, the South African constitution.
Yeah, but they could always say we have to control drugs, etc. Is it as
well,
fixed
you know,
in the constitution?
Well, you know the way that the Mexican judgment was worded was so poignant. It was the fact that if it's impossible for me to mature the way I want to, and develop my personality if I can't use cannabis. I use cannabis in my life, and if I can't do that, I cannot fully develop my personality.
And that was the judgment.
That's a very, very poignant thing to say.
Yes.
And I'm hoping a South African judge will say the same thing to me one day.
So we're hoping for a decision that recognizes a freedom of conscience.
Yes.
Yes.
You've got it in one. That's my fight. Cognitive liberty.
Exactly.
The sovereignty of your body.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science.
Alexander Shulgin?
Exactly.
If this is the border, and if I'm not the sovereign, past this border.
Completely.
Yeah.
And also the whole principle of a victimless crime is also, you know.
Our mantra actually on our stickers is, I am not a criminal.
Very
because
good.
I'm not. I'm a really hard-working, tax-paying person, but I happen to use the cannabis plant. So...
Check this out, folks. Go to the website, dachacouple.co.za. I even said
yeah,
Z.
No,
and
that's
a non-profit company.
Fields of Green for All.org.za.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Which area of South Africa you come from?
We live in Johannesburg. I'm actually an Englishman. I'm an Englishman. I've been in South Africa for 25 years. It's my home. I don't do Europe very well. I do Africa very well. But on the other hand, it was very nice to leave Africa last week because, man, it can drive you crazy, that place. Huh?
Yeah.
It's the Wild West.
Yeah.
It all happens all the time. That's one thing that does happen in Africa. Stuff. All the time. It really is a dynamic place, and you never know where you stand. It's a very brutal country. There's a lot of crime. There's a lot of murders. There's a lot of very angry, starving people. And it's been really cool to come to Manhattan. But I must admit, I was very, very surprised coming into a drug policy meeting to be told that I can't wear a cannabis T-shirt. That's just out to lunch. I'm sorry, folks.
It fits along with they held a UN session, one of the side sessions on youth, listening to the voices of youth in the drug war. There was not a single young person on the panel, and all the SSDP people who showed up, all the kids who showed up to go to it, weren't let in.
Right, well...
Isn't that just how it is in this building?
It's like lots of stuffy old white men running the show, eh?
Yeah.
It is. But one thing I did hear on the first day was, for the first time ever, a president,
yes,
not an ex-president, a real live incumbent president say, legalize already. And that was the man from Mexico. The Mexican president, he said, we've gone past decriminalization now, just legalize this plant once and for all and let's get on with it. And I've never heard an incumbent president say that ever. So that was quite cool, but nobody actually reported it. Because it's too big.
This has been an amazing discussion with the Dacha couple. Check them out online, dachacouple.co.za. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Hey, Russ, it's an honor to come and see you because you keep us going in South Africa. We feel as if we're in a backwater, you know. We're at the bottom of, next stop, Antarctica.
Yeah.
It's a long way from here.
Yes, it is.
So all of your writings and all of your words and your show is very important to us and to activists in South Africa because we consider you're on the front line. Because if there's going to be a blog post, it'll be yours first. You've always got the foot in the door first, so we commend you for that.
Well, thank you. I hope to visit South Africa, Johannesburg someday, and I'll give you a ring when I do.
Oh, no, you should.
Yes,
yeah.
Please, two of you. Need a bed for the night, please. Come and stay with us.